with the Business Bunker.
Welcome to the Business Bunker show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk on this Tuesday, June the 21st. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and marvellous Martin White.
Good afternoon, listener. Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon, Martin. How are you?
Great, thanks. Great. Enjoying the summer sun.
It's gorgeous out there, isn't it?
Yeah. Glad I put my short sleeve shirt on.
Oh, yeah. So you have. Have you got shorts on as well? I hadn't noticed.
Not today.
All right.
Not today, listener.
You've got a little linen number.
I have, yeah. Keeping me cool in this warm studio.
Oh, Martin, you are so cool at the best of times. You're Mr. Cool. So how are you? Have you been busy?
I have, thanks. Yeah, I've being an East Kent boy, I've decided to
Planet Thanet and all that.
Yeah, see the rest of Kent. And I've been spending a lot of time in West Kent.
Have you?
Yeah,
they let you in.
Well, yeah.
I mean, West Kent, what are you doing? What are you like? Who did that?
As you know, I tend to follow when it comes to travelling around Kent. I tend to follow Kent's finest golf courses. So a week ago today, I was taking part in the Chamber of Commerce Golf Day at Hever Castle.
Oh right, lovely course.
Beautiful place, beautiful place.
Did you get a chance to visit the castle?
I didn't, unfortunately, no.
Lovely place to visit.
A couple of my tee shots did, but I...
yeah, absolutely.
I left them out there.
Do you know, many years ago, like 140 years ago or something, I actually stayed there for a week in the castle. Lovely place.
Fantastic.
Yeah, really good. It was
fantastic.
A corporate event when I had a proper job years ago. Mm. Yeah, nice.
Beautiful. I mean, you can... You know, walking around there, you can almost kind of imagine what it would have been like in Henry's day. Was it his second wife that is that?
I lost count, mate. I lost count. He was such a boy, wasn't he? I mean, he was all over the shop, that boy. Mm. Yeah, no, it was his second wife, Anne Boleyn, yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful estate. So, what a stunning part of Kent that is.
It is gorgeous, isn't it? And it's easy to get lost around there as well, I have to say.
Yeah, the sat-nav stopped working, actually, about 5 miles from...
About 1492. Yeah.
But no, so, delighted to be able to take part in that. We didn't win, but it was a lovely day. So
it's the taking part that counts, isn't it? Not the winning.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Thanks, John. Thanks for that. And on Sunday, I was in Benenden.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
Right. Having, what are you doing there?
Well, playing golf again. yeah.
Does he do... And that was a stupid question, really, wasn't it, Nigel? I mean, does he do anything else? Yeah. No, he doesn't.
I think it's Cranbrook Golf Club.
Yeah, well, they've changed the name a few times, haven't they? It's it used to be the Directors Club or something, and then it was the...
Was it Hempstead?
Hempstead, yeah.
So we were at the Bull having breakfast on Sunday morning at some obscene hour, about 8
with
o'clock or something.
With Lucy and Mark, eh?
What a lovely pub that is.
Yeah, Lucy and Mark own the Bull. Yeah, on the green there.
I must give them a shout because it's their village fete, I think, this weekend. So if you live locally and you want something to do, pop along to Benenden this weekend. It's going to be super. I shall be at Staple. Because there's a village fete at Staple down the road from me this weekend as well. So
they got a golf course, presumably.
They haven't, actually, no.
What are they like? What are they like?
Don't worry, I'll be playing on Saturday.
Oh, that's all right, then.
At North Foreland.
We were worried for a moment there. Hey, listen, enough of that nonsense. Mm. We'd love to hear from you, the businesses out there in the southeastern of England and further afield with our regular listeners on the east coast of the US and in Turkey and Luxembourg and France, and where all of you people are gathering at the moment. Some of you regulars from there, some of you on holiday at the moment. But
I almost feel sorry for Chris.
Chris Pollard?
Yeah, because...
42 degrees.
Unbelievable.
I know.
I was watching the Grand Prix.
His poor little bald head.
Yeah, I was watching the Grand Prix from... Azerbaijan, isn't it?
Yeah.
From Baku at the weekend. Mm. And it was in the 40s. I can't believe it.
Yeah, no, Chris sent me a tweet. He's in Turkey at the moment. Yeah. And he sent me a tweet. He said, I'm just gone down to the beach. It's 42 degrees.
Yeah.
I went, you put something on your head, old boy. You are not, you know, it was his birthday recently. He's not getting any younger, that man. And, you know, so blimey. So I hope he lathered up on there.
Very warm.
Anyway, enough of that nonsense. We'd like to hear from you, all you businesses out there, and you can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can, in fact, call us on 01303 874 998. That's 01303 874 998. Or you can email me at bunker@campusradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on the show, as you all know by now, is to tweet me at VanillaWeb using the hashtag BBunker. That's BBunker hashtag VanillaWeb on the Twitter. We have had 9,873,763 billion. That's a George Osborne estimate. A bit of political satire there as well for you on a Tuesday afternoon of the amount of tweets we've had already. But I'll tell you what, Martin, why don't you start off by reading us one of your lovely, lovely emails?
Right. So, had an email from the lovely folks at Cane and Beer, captaincy firm up in Bromley. They run a fabulous curry networking evening. They've got two happening in July. First one's on the 14th of July at the Raj Moni in Bromley. Second one is on the 21st of July, and I'm going to this one. That's at the Mughal Dynasty in Maidstone. Both at 6:30, both £20 on the night. Book your place at on Cane and Beer's website, basically.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. A couple of quick tweets here. B&D Events, Butterflies 2019 is their Twitter handle. The lovely Amanda Flanders. And Amanda's listening in. And Amanda organises your events for you, whatever they may be. And very good she is too. So do give Amanda a follow. Butterflies 2019 is her Twitter handle. The lovely Joe Dodds, who is our alternate co-presenter to Martin, has also tweeted in. That's Power to Live More is Joe's Twitter handle. And also some lovely folks, a guy called Justin, who I interviewed last week on the Food Talk Show. He runs a startup company called Muddle Bevs. Muddle Bevs. Now, I got very confused, and I kept calling him a muggle. Yeah. But he isn't a muggle, he's a muddle, Muddle Bevs. And they make, would you believe, very low sugar or natural sugar fruit drinks. But incredibly low sugar, they don't put anything in it. And they taste absolutely stonkingly brilliant. They're a new startup, they're based in Brighton, they're very, very new into the market, but lovely drinks. So do give them a follow on the Twitter, Muddle Bevs. Muddles, Muddles with an S, M-U-D-D-L-E-S-B-V-S, Muddles Bevs. Give them a follow. Check them out. Worth a check out.
The lovely folks at Fruitworks have another create event happening on Thursday, the 28th of July. And that really is a kind of a marketing showcase, really, in terms of social media, more general marketing as well. So we've got three fabulous speakers, David Shaw, Daniel Knowlton, and Amy McManus. And in fact, I'm sponsoring that evening as well.
Are you? I am indeed. Thank you, Martin.
So delighted to be involved with that. Tickets are, is that all they are? £10.
£10. You get beer and pizza.
Including beer and pizza.
Beer and pizza.
And what a lovely way to go networking. Mm. So, really nice alternative. So that's Thursday, the 28th of July, Fruitworks in Canterbury. Tickets available at the Create website.
And there are double the amount of tickets available this time because it will be the very first Create in our new, expanded, quadrupled in size venue.
Absolutely.
Talking of which, we had a private viewing of an art exhibition that is actually in place all week at Fruitworks. And on Friday night, there was a private viewing for the parents and friends of the artists. And the artists were students, are still students at Canterbury College. And we had over 200 people come to the opening. And the exhibition is open at Fruitworks at 1 and 2 Old Jury or Jury Lane, I don't know my own address, 1 or 2 Jury Lane in Canterbury, that's behind the Abode Hotel, and it's open from 9 till 5 every day this week.
So you can't access it from Stour Street then?
You can, but you'd have to wander through Fruitworks and everybody would go shh, shh, shh.
Okay.
So we've actually got the front door open from Jury Lane so that you can go straight into the exhibition.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so do check that out. Or we've had a tweet from someone interesting. The Ghost Hunter, apparently. Ghost Hunter Tour is his Twitter handle. And he says, Vanilla Web, Business Bunker, hello, Paul. Can you give me a shout-out for the Maidstone Ghost Hunt? Blimey.
Maidstone, not Canterbury.
No, that's John Hippersley. John Hippersley does the ghost tours in Canterbury, and brilliant they are too. I don't know this gentleman, so I can't tell you his name. Maybe he hasn't got a name. Maybe he's ephemeral. Maybe he's a disconnected spirit, even. But on the Twitter, he's Ghost Hunter Tour. And he's doing ghost tours of Maidstone. Fantastic. So give him a follow. Do the tour. Find out about the ghosties. Maidstone actually has got a lot of history. Going right back and even to a, whatchamacallit?
Henry VIII.
No, way past there. They've got a dinosaur. They've got a dinosaur. They have their own dinosaur. I'm trying to remember what make a dinosaur it is. Anyone remember? No.
You don't go there very often, though, do you?
My head office is in Maidstone. I try to avoid it because they've shut the one-way system for 6 months while they rebuild it over the bridge. So it's a nightmare, the traffic. But I can't remember. They found a dinosaur in Alsford Quarry, which was a whole new make of dinosaur. It was a new model that they'd never found before, and I can't remember what it was called.
A new model?
Yeah, it was a new model.
Like a car, you mean?
Yeah. You get like Diplodocus and Tyrannosaurus.
What colour was it?
And Triceratops. It was grey.
So bone colour then, fossil colour.
Yeah. It was fossilised. But it was a whole dinosaur. You're being silly now.
The lovely Linda Garcia is very busy yet again. Mm-hmm. Next week, it's the fabulous North Kent B2B. And I know we're going to talk more about that because we've got John Surtees on the show in a little while. Yeah, so
absolutely.
That's at Buckmore Park next Wednesday, the 29th of June. Linda's doing three things on the day, really. She's got together with the lovely Gemma Fairhay Haynes from Orchard Employment Law, and they have a stand at the show. But Linda is also doing a Book Your 15 Minutes in the Spotlight session, where you can basically have a one-on-one with Linda, and she will be able to hopefully shed some light on some of the business productivity or more general business issues that you are facing in your business. She's also running a masterclass workshop called Unraveling the Mystery of Productivity on the day as well. So there's tons going on at North Kent B2B next week, and Linda is very much a part of that.
Absolutely, there is. And as you say, we're going to hear from the lovely John Surtees in a moment. But the North Kent B2B is a real different type of activity this time. It's a first. There's going to be kart racing and all kinds. Martin and I are competing, you know, like silly blokey blokes and, you know, trying to outdo each other of which of us can actually fit in a kart.
And is being sponsored by the lovely people at New Appointments Group.
Indeed it is. Yeah, the kart racing. Yes.
I think it's called the Kent B2B Challenge Trophy?
It is indeed called the B2B Challenge Trophy.
So there's a trophy up for grabs. Mm-hmm. I think spaces are limited to 100 odd, so I guess there'll be a draw, but it's all included within your registration when you actually sort your free registration out.
And the Business Bunker radio show will be in attendance. We will be doing vox pop interviews with people. We'll be wandering around grabbing an interview. So if you want to be interviewed for the radio and have your 2 minutes of fame, get hold of me and I'll certainly give you a quick vox pop going over.
There's the usual exhibition space, but there's also workshops, seminars, there's a Twitter session, speed networking. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff going on.
Everything you could possibly imagine.
It's going to be the
place to be. You could imagine in the entire whole wide world is going to be happening on the 29th of June at Buckmore Park, basically. So don't go anywhere else. There's no point. The rest of the country, the rest of the world, everything is shut while we all move to the B2B at Buckmore Park. Yeah, absolutely. Are you the face, Martin, of Base? Are you the face of Base? They say the face that launched 1,000 ships, but Beauty Academy Southeast, Base, are looking for the face that will launch their brand. Base offers accredited beauty therapy courses and are hosting their launch day at their new premises on Saturday the 2nd of July from 12 p.m. onwards, and their premises are located at 42 the High Street, Sittingbourne. They're looking for entrants for their competition to become the face of Base for a year. What do you reckon?
No chance.
There was stunned silence in the studio, listener. Three of them looked at me and went, "You're not serious."
We had this conversation, didn't we, a couple of weeks ago with Derek from Prism Alarms, and I think it was agreed certain people have got a face for radio.
That is true. There will be balloons for children, cakes and bubbly to celebrate Base's new academy. I'm very excited about the academy as it makes it easier and more affordable for people to become fully trained and accredited in beauty therapy, says Tanya Emery, who is the owner of Base. So whether you've always wanted to start your own business, change your career or about to leave school, if you're thinking about becoming a beauty therapist, then Base can offer you the training you need to push start your career. Base provide 4-week courses on manicure and pedicure, waxing, always makes me wince waxing, facials and eye treatments. Just to interrupt myself, 2 years ago I was blagged into having my entire body waxed in public in a shop window in Whitstable High Street, which is the most unpretty thing you could ever possibly imagine, and it hurt like anything. And not just when they were doing it, it hurt for 2 weeks afterwards.
Whitstable High Street's lovely.
No, Whitstable High Street's lovely. Having your body plucked in the window of a shop is not.
Oh, you being in a window in Whitstable High Street.
I was in a window, naked, in a shop window, being plucked by a lovely young lady what plucked me.
That's not.
And pluck she did.
Could we ask why?
I was raising money for breast cancer, and we gathered a crowd watching through the window, and we then assaulted the crowd with a bucket, and we raised £1,600 from that crowd, which shows you how big the crowd were, to the point that the police had to come in and go, can you stop doing that in a shop window, please?
It wasn't Christmas time, was it?
No. It was...
They didn't get you confused with a giant turkey.
Yeah, I looked like a turkey afterwards, a really big turkey. But no, it was October time. It was right. Freezing as well, Okay. Laying naked in a shop window. Anyway, to carry on with Base, sorry about that, people at Base, by injecting that into your lovely press release. Base provide 4-week courses on manicure, pedicure, waxing, facials and eye treatments in intimate groups of four, with prices starting from £500, and 1-day courses in makeup and spray tanning from £150. If you're interested in the beauty courses and wish to book your free ticket for the open day at the Academy, which includes a glass of Prosecco and a cupcake, please follow Base on Twitter or Facebook to receive your invitation, quoting hashtag Base Launch. The first 10 visitors will also receive a goodie bag on the day. To enter the Face of Base competition, you need to post an up-to-date photo via Base's Facebook page, and their Facebook page is Beauty Academy Southeast, or you can do it on Twitter, and their Twitter handle is at Emery, E-M-E-R-Y, Emery Outlook, all one word, with your name quoting hashtag Face of Base, to be registered for the competition, which has a closing date of the 31st of July 2016. So do look at their Facebook page, find out what you get. There's a whole list of things. The press release is another 2 pages of telling us about all the things you get if you're selected as the Face of Base. But let's go one at a time. Let's get you selected first, and then we tell you what you've let yourself in for after that. What do you reckon? Face of Base, Emery Outlook on the Twitter. Give them a follow.
And if you're up against Paul Andrews, you might just have a chance.
No chance. No chance whatsoever.
I need to read one out, Paul, that's got a shelf life on it.
It
expires today. So the lovely Leslie Dean at Escapes by Travel Designers has a superb holiday offer for Borneo on at the moment. But you need to book, I think, by the end of today. So get your skates on. It's $799 per person, 7 nights at a 5-star hotel, free upgrade, return flight, so all-inclusive, basically. Various departures, September through October, November and December. But you do need to book today. So if you fancy going to see the orangutans in Borneo...
Fabulous.
What a fantastic holiday. For Leslie's actually in Spain at the moment, sunning herself down.
It's all right for some, isn't it?
She's house-sitting for someone in Alicante. Can you believe it?
I don't know.
But all those details are on the community section of the Supply My Business website.
Fantastic. Thank you for that, Martin. I want to play you the interview that I did with John Surtees, CBE, last week. This is a fabulous interview. For those of you that don't know, and there can't be many people out there, John is a motor racing legend, but I'll let him explain. Let's have a listen to this.
I'm here on the Business Bunker Show with John Surtees, CBE. John, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's an absolute pleasure to meet you. John is the only man in history to win 2 world championships on 2 wheels and 4. John, thank you so much for joining us. For our younger listeners, just give us a little insight into your racing career back in those days.
Well, my racing career started back there in... the late 40s.
Really?
Yes. I was... my father was British sidecar champion before the war.
Oh, wow.
And after the war, he started up again. And so I became, shall we say, number two mechanic.
Right, okay.
Mainly cleaning the bike, etc. But one day, when I was just 14... we went to a speed trial in a place called Trent Park, which was in North London, and his passenger didn't turn up.
Oh, right, okay.
This speed trial was on a stretch of road which through his park, which had some bends in it, so it meant that the sidecar needed balancing up.
Yes, yep.
And so the passenger had to do something, but... in the absence of his passenger, he turned around and he said, lad, you've seen it done. I'll show you where you need to hang out, etc. I'll fit you into a set of my spare leathers. Let's have a go.
Wow.
And so I did just that.
Right.
And I sort of hung out the side of the sidecar, you know, for the... left-handers and such like, and that was an experience. Of
I'm sure it was at that age as well.
Another experience was, of course, we got disqualified. So it was the first and I think the last time I got disqualified in my life.
Wow.
But I suppose my real racing career started at the first ever road race, which was held at Brands Hatch.
Right, okay.
It had been a grass track
circuit,
and my father had raced there all the time. And in 1950, they had tarmacked it, and I went down there with my little 250 Triumph, which I had at that time, which I had converted into a racing machine.
Mm.
I took part in a race. I didn't have any success. I nearly did, in that I actually took the lead for a moment.
Wow.
The only problem was that it had started to rain, and I took the lead sitting on my backside as I slid past the leader going into what was the bottom bend in those days at Brands Hatch, because it went round the opposite way to what it does today.
Okay.
It went anti-clockwise.
Right.
But that was a start. At the end of 1950, I suppose my career really started.
Right.
In that I had joined, I was about to join the Vincent HRD company as an apprentice engineer, and my father was agent for Vincent, and we got hold of a development grey flash model, a 500cc bike, and I put it all together, and at Aberdare Park at the end of the year, I won my first race.
Can I just ask, were you racing as a factory race team, or
No. I was just purely an apprentice, and I put it together, a bike which we managed to get, and my father put it on HP. I was getting £2.10 a week at that time. But helping myself out by doing extra work in evenings, doing servicing for my father on some of his customers. So, it was a great time, and I put it together and I won that first race, which was the most important race probably of my life.
Really?
Because that day, instead of being, we might say, a mechanic testing his bike, I actually came together with the bike, because to get the ultimate from any piece of machinery, you need to understand it.
Yes,
and on
absolutely.
That day, it virtually spoke to me, and I understood it, and we became one, and I won the race.
Wow.
And that stood me in good stead for the rest of my life, up until now, that relationship. And so, in motorsport, I continued in motorcycles until the end of 1960. In 1960, I also, during the period when I was winning two world championships on motorcycles, I also competed in one or two races, including Formula One.
Right, okay.
Because Colin Chapman of Lotus asked me to do that. And I got a second in a British Grand Prix and put it on pole at...
You're a bit of a natural, really, is what it comes down to, isn't it?
Then, so that started my career, so a career which went through. So, but you're talking about Buckmore.
Yes, absolutely.
So Buckmore,
yeah.
Buckmore come into my life, the start of another career.
Right. What inspired you to get involved with Buckmore Park?
Well, first and foremost, I suppose it was the fact that a friend of mine came in one day and asked Henry, my son, who was just about coming up to 8 years of age, if he'd like to come to Buckmore Park with him. I'd never been here, but so he went along and he came back and he said to me, Daddy, that's what I want to do. So I became a cartoon father.
Right, okay.
That cartoon father was at times the mechanic, also the cook in the little van we had, etc., and the sponsor.
Right.
And so we travelled around, having, as Henry said, our adventures.
Yeah, absolutely.
At race meetings, just like the lads going around there today, yeah, testing their their cadet carts, and. Through that, I met Bill Sisley, who owned Butmore Park at that time. And he, early in the 2000s, came to me and said, will you help me? We have antiquated facilities here. We need to have improvements. So I arranged the design and the build and financing of the clubhouse here, which we're sitting in.
Absolutely, yeah.
And also the paddock building. So that was a start. I had no further connection with Butmore, apart from staying on good terms. Henry, we had the tragedy of losing him in 2009 in that freak accident at Brands Hatch. And afterwards, because of the generosity of people at the times of his service, when they donated over £30,000 to a charity that we had designated, which was Headway, we formed a foundation.
Yep.
And
this is the Henry Surtees
Foundation. Henry Surtees Foundation.
Yep.
And I thought that there could be an opportunity sometime of creating some activities and centres, a centre at Butmore,
yep,
for a potential learning and training centre,
yep,
because I'd seen youngsters who had developed in front of my very eyes.
Absolutely, yeah.
With their involvement. Mm. I'd seen youngsters who had been able to start to communicate with people,
mm,
who had, through that independence that they had to have, because when they're sitting in the cart there, no one else is holding their hands.
Absolutely.
Or anything else.
Mm.
They had to make the decisions, mm, etc. And I saw the effect this had on them,
mm,
and also the side factors. I know that Henry got very involved in the data systems, etc., which, mm, I put onto the carts,
yep,
to a point where his IT teacher, when he left school at 11 to change schools, wrote on the bottom of his report, Henry, thank you for teaching me how to get the best out of my laptop. And so, and this all came from his involvement in, yeah, something he was enthusiastically involved in,
yeah,
emotionally.
Absolutely.
Which is what I got emotionally involved in before,
yeah,
and it spurred my career.
Absolutely.
So I thought,
yeah,
right, if we can have something which just emotionally creates an emotional drive,
mm,
within these youngsters, they will be able to find a career,
yep,
and we can perhaps help them in that career, not making racing drivers. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about making opportunities within the world of obviously engineering,
mm,
and all the technology which goes with it.
Absolutely. It also gives youngsters a focus in their life. You know, so many youngsters can lack focus and, you know, amble through life without really doing anything.
They can do. They can do. Mm. They can do. And also, of course, so many youngsters now, their lives are dominated by just looking at a screen,
mm, yeah,
and other people's experiences.
Mm.
And so you need to get them emotionally involved. And we have a very big motor industry and motor sports industry.
Absolutely,
in this country,
yeah,
with lots of opportunities, mm, for careers,
mm,
and also of course just generally the fact that if someone gets emotionally involved in subjects. And as again, I'm stressing, we're not talking about just racing. We're talking about careers where you get some real substance.
Mm. Absolutely. I want to forward now, because coming up very soon, in the next couple of weeks, we have the North Kent Business to Business event taking place here at Batmore Park. And you, sir, are kindly opening that event for everybody, and we're really looking forward to that. Is this the first... I know you run lots of different events here, you run lots of different corporate events, but is this the first event of that type that you've held at Batmore?
Well, here at Batmore, I've only had control of Batmore since the middle of last year.
Right, okay.
And our first sort of objective has been to bring Batmore into, shall we say, the 21st century.
Sure.
And to make it comparable to a Grand Prix circuit in a mini style.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so if you just look around and see how the circuit has been improved.
I notice all the tyres have gone.
All the tyres and the bits and pieces and the runoff areas have been tarmacked, and the painting of the sides and purpose-built barriers and things. But generally, because this is, of course, something which is important, our presentation. Buckmore supports a lot of young people racing, but it only does that on the basis that it relates to business and business-to-business relationships. Our corporate side here is very, very important.
Mm.
And one of the things what happened is I got a report from our chief marshal the other day. He said it was so good, our six-hour corporate race, how way it went. He said we only had one stoppage due to a yellow flag, etc. He said, and so the people are very happy because they don't keep on having stops and starts, because with the new runoff areas and the new barriers, they're not getting carts buried into walls of tyres. And so all these things have been very, very important for us to do. Mm-hmm. And so when we had that request, we thought, right, we'd like to sort of introduce people to the new Batmore as it's emerging, but also we are very much part of Kent business. Not only just Kent, but drawing business from all around us into Kent, and so it was a common cause for us to be involved.
Totally agree, and we're really looking forward to it, John. Thank you so much for spending some time with us here on the Business Bunker. It's been an absolute pleasure to meet you. You are an absolute gentleman. We look forward to the 29th of June, and we will see you at the Business to Business event at Batmore Karting Park.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Rift Accounting. The accountants of tomorrow, today. Riftaccounting.com.
Where do businesses in Kent go to do business? Supplymybusiness.co.uk. Get 12 months membership for the price of 10 when you join today. Supplymybusiness.co.uk.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, June the 21st, with me, Paul Andrews, and Martin White. That was an interview that we did last week with the absolutely fabulous. The man is a legend, a gentleman, delight to meet and to speak to Mr. John Surtees, CBE. What a fabulous, fabulous man.
Imagine having raced for the Ferrari team when Enzo Ferrari was at the helm. And,
absolutely.
I mean, just incredible, the history there.
He's actually got an open-top Ferrari still parked in the car park while I was there. Blimey. That's something, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've had a tweet from the lovely Sally Gridley, who is known as Dinky Ones EYC, on the Twitter, saying that she thoroughly enjoyed the interview and how sad it was with Henry, and she was actually there on the day that that sad occurrence happened.
Mm.
But what a fabulous interview. You can meet John and hear from him, because he will be doing the opening address at the said B2B North Kent event on the 29th of June.
I think there's a breakfast as well. If you want to get there really early, I think there's a breakfast from... 7 o'clock in the morning, but it was interesting to hear John talking about the extensive runoff areas, Paul, which is something probably you're going to be taking advantage of next week.
He had to get that in, didn't he? The track, they haven't, I thought the track had changed since I was last there, but he assures me it hasn't. What they've just done is tidied it up. The last time I was there, everything was tyre walls and stuff like that. All of that's gone. They've got proper Racing Armco barriers. They've patched the thing. Well, they haven't patched it up. They've made it a proper tarmac track. It absolutely looks 100% different to how it was a few years ago. Done a marvellous job on the track.
When you think about the current crop of Formula One drivers, of course, they all started their profession there. Jensen Button, Lewis Hamilton.
They
all race there.
They all race karts there, absolutely. It is one of the most famous kart tracks probably in the world. Mm. And you're quite right. Most of the top racing drivers started their racing careers racing karts. Mm. Absolutely. Anyway, come along and hear some more from John at the B2B North Kent at Butmore Park. Lovely, lovely gentleman, and thoroughly enjoyed interviewing him. We're going to do a couple more tweets and emails and stuff like that. I think I've had a tweet from the lovely folks at Telcare, the telecommunications providers over there on the Medway City Estate in Rochester. And they say, hello, Business Bunker, enjoying a great show from all of us here at Telcare. So thank you, folks. And without Telcare, you wouldn't be listening to us now, because they provide our lease lines here on which we are broadcasting this very show.
Good luck with your sponsored cycle ride, Lisa. It must be imminent now, I'm
absolutely
sure.
Absolutely, yeah. She's walking funny, so she must have been really ramping up the practice on that bike.
I got on my bicycle a couple of weeks ago. I have to say, it wasn't good for the undercarriage.
Mm. I noticed Lisa and Dave went for a bike ride on Sunday on Father's Day, quite a way as well, so obviously another practice. But thank you, Lisa, and the whole team, Lisa, Dave and the team at Telcare Limited, and do give them a follow on the Twitter, Telcare LTD. On Twitter, the lovely Sally Laker, Sally for Cakes, has tweeted in that she's listening. So thank you for that, Sally.
I saw one of Sally's cakes on Twitter yesterday, I think, Sally. A steam locomotive that you done?
Oh, yeah, that was awesome, wasn't
80th
it?
80th birthday or something. Yeah, looked fantastic. Yeah. Too good to eat.
Yeah, because did you see the cake that Sally did for my birthday last year? It was awesome, awesome. My birthday wasn't, the cake was.
Now, hot on the heels of Beverly Knight.
Yeah.
At Western Hanger Castle, there is a Motown Magic evening.
Wow.
On Friday the 24th. That's this Friday, isn't it?
It is indeed. They're not resting on their laurels around there, are they? They're straight into it.
From 7 o'clock, enjoy a three-course meal, a glass of bubbly, and the fantastic live show of Motown. That sounds like a cracking evening. Mm. Book your tickets at kentshows.co.uk.
I like a bit of Motown, mate. Mm,
love it.
Yeah. Nice. Beverly Knight, who was on at Western Hanger Castle on...
Was it last week?
Saturday night.
Saturday.
With Lamar and a whole lineup. Apparently it was a fantastic event. I couldn't get along. But we interviewed Beverly on the show here a couple of weeks beforehand. What a lovely lady she was too. Really, really nice.
She's been all over the TV recently as well, hasn't she? Been on the One Show and been doing loads of stuff.
Fantastic voice. She's from Wolverhampton, She's from Wolverhampton, you know. It really surprised me reverted back to her roots with a bit of Wolverhampton Blit country. Incredible. Yeah, no, lovely lady, really, really lovely lady, and what a fabulous singer. And by all accounts, it was a brilliant event on Saturday night.
Yes.
Mm. We've had a tweet from a new listener. Think Red Apple is their Twitter handle. Red Apple Thinking. And they say, Vanilla Web, Business Bunker, the team at Think Red Apple would love a shout-out, please. And as far as I can ascertain from their Twitter handle, they are a training and leadership development company. So do give them a follow and find out some more about them at Think Red Apple. We've also had a tweet from Swale Film Society, who are known as Swale Film SOC, S-O-C, on Twitter. Could we have a shout-out, please, Vanilla Web? We have a free film event, which they've hashtagged, just so that I didn't miss it. A free film event on first Wednesday of every month. Visit our Facebook page for info. And then they've given me a link, which has been kindly shortened by Twitter, so I can't read it. Mm. And so the easiest thing to do is to follow them on the Twitter, Swale Film SOC, Swale Film Society, and find out some more about their first Wednesday free film event over there in Swale.
Mm. I've got another one that's got a bit of a short shelf life, so I need to read this out. Introduction.
You're just doing that because you can say short shelf life without spitting.
I did well, didn't I?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't do it the first time, but the second
time. No, I noticed.
Time,
I noticed. Short shelf life.
That was good.
Sat quickly. Short shelf life.
It's an introduction to direct marketing, and it's happening tomorrow from 2:30 to 4:30. And it's being run by a chap called Daryl Lynham, who was one of my guests on the show before Christmas now, actually, a long time ago. So Darren runs a company called The Marketing Link. You may know him as Three Links Media. So it's tomorrow afternoon from 2:30 to 4:30, and Daryl will demystify direct marketing and show you how to use it effectively in your business. It's being run at the Innovation Centre in Medway. There isn't a booking link on here, but I'm sure if you go onto Daryl's website, or I believe it may also be on the FSB website, if you have a look on there, that's tomorrow.
Absolutely,
afternoon.
It is indeed on the FSB website, and it's also on the Kent Business Radio website underneath the FSB tab. I'm going to do one last tweet, and then we're going to speak to our next guest on this week's Business Bunker Show. I've had a tweet from the lovely Karen Gay, who is Karen Vibe Team on the Twitter. And she says, hold on, let me see what she says. Would love a shout out, please, Paul. We've just rebranded, and all of our info is available on our tweet bio. And let me read that to you. Vibe is a fun place where the team can develop and grow your business through marketing, social media, design, branding, hand-coded websites, recruitment, and much, much more. And they're based in my little town of Tenterton. So do give them a follow on the Twitter, and that's Karen Gay, and her Twitter handle is Karen Vibe, V-I-B-E, team, all one word.
I was very near you on Sunday, Paul.
I know, I got the vibe, I felt your presence.
I nearly popped
in. I said
in.
To Obi-Wan Kenobi, I went, Obi, I can feel his presence is close.
I nearly popped in because you live opposite a golf course, don't you?
I do, yeah. So, and then how could you miss that?
So I was going to park my car in your driveway and go and play a few holes, but I thought no.
And why not? And why not? Yeah, I live opposite the London Beach for those that want to break into my house. I wouldn't advise it though. There's some big blokes there at the moment. Yeah, cool. It's an absolute pleasure now to welcome our next guest onto today's Business Bunker Show for the first time, Mr. Nigel Hogg of Mid Kent College. Nigel, welcome to the Business Bunker Show.
Welcome, and thank you for inviting us this afternoon to the show.
Now, it's an absolute pleasure. Lovely to see you again here. Why don't you start off, Nigel, by telling the listener a little bit about what your role is at Mid Kent College?
Okay, I'm one of the business advisors for Mid Kent College, and we go out and see what the local environment or the local businesses need, and then we see what training or apprenticeships or how we can actually help the business in other ways, such as growth business grants or training or whatever they require.
Okay, so are you kind of working for the business unit there, the Mid Kent College business unit?
Yeah, we have a business unit within the college, and I'm one of the business advisors. There's four or five of us that go out. We've not particularly sector specific, but we've all got our specialities that we go out and see.
Yeah.
And we can give best advice of what training is out there, or we can give best advice of where they can find what they're looking for, including some business links on occasions, because we visit lots of companies and sometimes people don't realise what goes on in Kent.
No, absolutely. And in fact, you're absolutely right. There is a lot of things that happen in Kent, isn't it? And keeping up with it isn't always easy. And, you know, especially with things like apprenticeships, which for some reason the politicians seem to want to change every 10 minutes. You just think you've worked out how it all works and then they change it.
Yeah, they are very much in turmoil all the time. They change the rules all the time, but we keep abreast of it. Mm. The idea is that the companies don't have to worry about that side. We can take care of all the bureaucracy. We can make sure everything's compliant, and we make sure you get the right person for the right role.
Absolutely, which is why it's a really good thing to talk to someone such as yourself, because that you can keep them up to breast of what they're doing. As you say, you can do stuff for them, because a lot of employers that I talk to go, well, do you know what? I would have liked to have done this or that or the other, but I don't understand how it works, and I can't, you know, I haven't got the time to find out.
Well, we do try. We go out to see lots and lots of companies. We know what we deliver. We also know what some of the other training companies and some of the other colleges deliver. And if we can't match your requirements, we would always refer you to someone that we know is quality and can then do your requirements for you.
Absolutely. Can we talk a little bit, if we can, Nigel, about the range of things that you can introduce businesses to? I mean, clearly I'm talking about apprenticeships, and that's a big issue at the moment, but there's a range of other things that you do as well, is there not?
There are on apprenticeship wise, Mid Kent College offer about 42 different frameworks, which is surprises people from level two, and we're looking at higher degree apprenticeships in the very near future.
Up to level six.
And then on top of that, we also do commercial training. People think colleges don't do commercial training, but we're in the market like everybody else.
Absolutely.
So as my usual opening gambit is IOS, NEBOSH, BISHBOSH, if you need these.
He's another one. See, he's doing it now as well. He's copying you, Martin. He's going NISHNOSH, BISHBOSH, and you're going...
I didn't hear Biff Baff Bosh in there.
Did you?
No. So we try to be as flexible as we can. Yeah. We try to deliver a lot of licenses to practice because, again, the world of work changes all the time.
Yeah.
And sometimes people don't realise that they're... lives, or they're not lives, but their careers are in jeopardy because the rules have changed, and we try to do licenses to practice so they can continue working and earning money.
Can you give us some examples of the kind of things that, you know, people need to keep abreast of with things like that?
For instance, recently the CS for the construction industry, CSCS cards have recently changed. So right. If you've been
again
yeah. And it's getting slightly worse now, just in my opinion,
yeah.
Is the fact that
I'm with you on that.
You've had a lot of workshop supervisors or site supervisors that have been using something called grandfather rights, if you're old as me, or experiential worker route. Well, that's recently changed. So you may well have been a site supervisor for the last 3 or 4 years. When you go to renew your card, unless you've got an MVQ, you can no longer practice that as such. You'll get a trainee card, which I'm sure will go down well with your fellow workmates, and you need to get upskilled or retrained to have the correct MVQ. That's just one of the major changes.
So it's really like CPD, continuous professional development, really.
It certainly is, and I say, the other people change the rules, and then we react, and then, of course, companies aren't aware of changes, and because they're not aware of it, we like to introduce it when we go out to see a company. So we may go out, see somebody about an engineering course, but then they actually do need something like type supervision.
Right.
So we try to do that side of it as well, to give them a full service.
Do you ever stage workshops or seminars or open days or anything like that where you actually just say, listen, guys, this is a construction forum open day. Do you know the following 22 rules have been changed this week and you might want to be aware of it?
We certainly do. We hold forums at the college all the time, and also we come out to industry. In fact, we got one in July about the changes to the new levy coming in. So, again, the idea is to invite companies in. Any size is always welcome. We're always happy to interact with any of the industries. And I say in July, we've got the levy event so that people can come in and find out the recent changes.
For those listeners that don't know, the levy is an apprenticeship levy that is being, it's a tax basically that's being put on to larger businesses,
Anyone with a tax bill of more, a payroll bill of more than £3 million will be subject to a 0.5% levy on their tax bill, and from that they can only spend that on apprenticeships. And you will find, although the government says it's only 2% of companies, there are people don't realise how many companies do exist, and so there's an awful lot of companies in Kent that are going to be hit by the levy, and don't know how to spend it at the moment, and we're quite happy to help you spend that money.
Absolutely.
In a business sense of what you require to actually get your business to grow.
I'm just going to make this comment, you don't have to comment here, it's another piece of idiot legislation that's so poorly thought out by our political masters that they don't realise what the business environment is like, because of course anybody that operates a temp agency will have a payroll of that size, although it is not their payroll, if you see what I mean. So there has to be opt-outs, otherwise it just won't work, because you can get very small companies that only have like 3 employees but actually have a payroll of over £3 million, for instance.
Well, that's one way of looking at it, Paul.
Well, they've also said that anyone that runs multiple payrolls will only get the one allowance. There is a tax allowance on it, but there will only one tax allowance on it.
So. I know, it's really, really badly thought out.
Well, I mean, if you look at it from a different perspective, you might look at... I mean, I used to work for a company called Unilever.
Never heard of them.
Exactly. And effectively, what they're saying is you're going to be paying this tax whether you like it or not. So the fact that you've paid this tax means you may as well get some use from it. You may as well get some benefit from it. And if larger corporations, although ultimately the vast majority of jobs are being created in small businesses at the moment, but nevertheless, these are still
84%.
Right, yeah. These are still significant employers.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I don't have a problem with that from that point of view.
Tens of thousands of people. So if they're going to be encouraged to take on more trainees.
I don't have a problem with that. Mm. What I'm saying is trying to make a one size fits all when you don't understand the size. For want to mix my metaphors, if you see what I mean. That's my only beef about it.
Well, there are a few levies that are semi-compulsory, say, on the construction industry, and they will be liable for both if that system still exists. So even if you pay a levy now, this one is mandatory.
It's an additional level.
You have to pay it because it's going to be coming out as HMRC.
Anyway, we can find out all about it by going on one of Mid Kent College's introductory seminars about the levy.
We're certainly running, and we'll be sending out invitations very soon to many companies in and around Kent. And again, we can obviously put that link in via your show as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm quite interested in the whole kind of professional learning and workplace training side of things, Nigel. So if I'm a small business, say I have 10 people working for me, am I able to come to the college and actually ask you to help me to design a specific training program that might focus on first aid in the workplace, for example, or marketing or social media? How does it actually work if I want to access that?
Well, that's not hard at all. If they phone Mid Kent College and ask for business services, one of me and my team will come out. We then scope out exactly what you want out of the training, not just training for training's sake. We can then see if you want it certificated or through Pearson's or City and Guilds. And then on the back of that, we will develop the scheme exactly for you on an individual basis. We do that for several companies in and around the North Kent and South Kent area, and it is bespoke to exactly what they need. If we can identify your needs and we can put the training in place, your company will grow, and the idea is that will be bespoke to your requirements.
And is there funding that I can access to help me pay for that, or how does it work on that level?
Well, it depends on what you're looking for, and the rules change on adult skills funding all the time. However, if we can draw down something to subsidise being the word, your training, then obviously we would do so. We try to maximise all our funding streams to help businesses. We try to make sure the training is fit for business, for your business, and if it is bespoke, then it will be very much about exactly what you want, and it will be tailored to exactly when and when you want it delivered. So we've got trainers in Liverpool at the moment doing bespoke training for a large manufacturer based in the Kent area, but they've obviously got plants elsewhere. And there's talk of us going out to Spain, so we could rule the world one day.
A nice little jolly.
That sounds like a brilliant initiative.
Absolutely. And as Nigel quite rightly points out, so many businesses don't have the resources or wherewithal to keep on top of all of this. And it is one of those radically and often changing landscapes that, is difficult to keep up with. You mentioned that you don't actually specifically have industry-specific roles, but, probably based on the experience of the people that do the job, you kind of focus on different areas?
Yeah, I'm predominantly looking at the engineering and construction centres around Kent. So I've gone out for everything from sausage roll factories through to Hubble telescope manufacturing. So it always surprises me what you do find in Kent.
Yeah.
Your metal spinners, lost skills you'd think were lost, but does still exist.
It's one of my little rant things that... I get so fed up with people keep telling me, well, we killed manufacturing. It is nonsense. Mm. The United Kingdom is the seventh largest manufacturing nation on earth. What actually happened is a little thing called evolution and technology, where things have changed radically. And now most engineering and manufacturing and large scale stuff like that is actually done in small companies. And in Kent, there are dozens and dozens and dozens of small engineering and manufacturing companies that make all kinds of things. Now, I've got to be careful here, because a couple of years ago on this show, I introduced two companies, one in Dartford and one in Chatham, that could actually supply each other where they didn't know each other existed. And I accused the one in Chatham of being a producer and maker of doodads. And they weren't happy with that, but I didn't know exactly what you call what they made. So doodads would have done it. But
What did they make, Paul?
They made rubber doodads. They made
Robits?
No, they made four candles, mate. Seriously, they made four candles.
You would be surprised what's manufactured around Kent. So everything from high-end... the thing that I find surprising in Kent is because I used to work in the Essex area. In Essex, you would think it was all automotive because of the Fords.
Yeah.
But in Kent, it tends to be very much about aeronautics. So we've got a lot of high-end aeronautical companies.
Well, because you've got a big BAE factory at Rochester, and I suppose there's a lot of spin-outs out of that. And there's RDDEF Avionics over in your area in Thanet. And,
where we used to have an airport, you mean?
Yeah, that's it. Over there. So, yeah, you're absolutely right, Nigel. There is a lot of manufacturing and engineering goes on in small firms, and there are massive skill shortages. I came across about a year or so ago a company in Sevenoaks that were a small engineering and manufacturing company, and they had to bribe a 70-year-old former employee to come back to work because they were so desperate for the skills, and they had no one to train their apprentice. They were more than happy to hire apprentices, but they had no one to train them, so they had to bribe this guy to come back to work and do it.
It's not they sir top Trump's card, but I did work with a goldsmithing company over in the Beckton area. 78-year-old toolmaker would like to go part time.
Right.
At 78, part time, I'd like to see 78.
That's the trouble with the youth of today, isn't it? They've got no staying power. 78-year-olds, get a grip, mate.
No, I know. There are lots of young people out that do want to get into it.
Of course they are, but you need that experience to pass on to them and to help them and to grow. And
but what amazes me also is the sheer number of vacant apprenticeship positions that Mid Kent College are actually managing at any given point in time. I mean, at the moment, I mean, off the top of my head, Nigel, it's probably in excess of 80 vacant positions you've got at the moment that you're trying to fill.
We've had, I think we put about 1,200 people into jobs in the last year and a bit. We've got about 30 vacancies at the moment, 30 to 40, purely because we're at the end of our academic year and we start building for September.
Yeah.
But anybody that's looking to recruit, just get in touch with us. We're more than happy to come.
Or any candidates out there whose, you know, parents might be listening in, owners of businesses, you know, whose kids might be looking for an apprenticeship, get in touch with your local college. You'd be amazed at what's available.
Absolutely. And one of the things we've been doing with the Federation of Small Business is actually going around to schools and talking to them about the alternative routes into employment other than a conventional university degree route. And more people are coming round to it. It's an information thing, and Nigel's at the forefront of this. Mm. This is what Nigel's doing. He's going around talking to people, talking to them about the kind of things you can do to get young people into the world of work. And it's working.
I had this conversation with Nigel when we first arrived here today. I said, you know, when I was at school, I had no idea what I wanted to do at all. I went to, had a careers evening. I must have been coming to, you know, finishing my O-levels, whatever. And
he's showing off now. O levels.
The guy said to me, you know, what do you want to do? And I said, I've got no idea. My mum chipped in and she said, well, he likes repairing bicycles. But at no point did anybody say to me, do you know what? You might actually be interested in an apprenticeship program.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
If you like working with your hands, if you're kind of skilled on that level, which I wasn't, by the way, you might want to think about an engineering apprenticeship. Mm. Nothing like that. And Nigel was explaining to me earlier that there is still a kind of a conflict of interest when it comes to schools and their willingness to push apprenticeships, because ultimately a lot of these schools want students to stay on at the sixth form.
Absolutely.
Because they get paid for them.
Absolutely. That is starting to change, though.
It is
starting to change. Very slowly.
The apprenticeship brand is getting more and more out there, driven by the government and other agendas. And again, the old days of just thinking of a craftsperson as a greasy, oily person in a set of overalls, which may be me, but maybe not. There are such a multitude out there. I mean, there are lots of professional apprenticeships out there. We're one of the few colleges that run surveying apprenticeships. People wouldn't believe that you can do an apprenticeship in quantity surveying. And it goes into a high-end career. It's RICS approved, which is Royal Institute of Chartered Surveyors.
And there's a massive shortage. There's a shortage of quantity surveyors. They are more rare than unicorn poo. They really are.
I think you can get out of unicorn. You're quite right. I think unicorn poo is quite common these days.
So is it?
Quantity surveyors is a little bit harder.
It's worse than that. Unicorn poo.
But no, we do arrange. Again, we do the support apprenticeships as well. So although I mentioned engineering, if you get for every engineer, you're going to need somebody in the office doing the back room stuff. So again, you're going to have business admin, customer service scenarios. So we do a full range. And again, sometimes you go out to see a company about one product, as in apprenticeships, and suddenly they need another one. And then again, we mention some of the commercial courses as well. So we try to meet all their business needs.
Fantastic.
I want to talk about the elephant in the room, and not Paul in this instance, but I want to talk about the word stigma. Is there still, amongst young people, a stigma attached to apprenticeships? Is there a feeling that actually you do an apprenticeship because you didn't go on and do a university degree, for example? Does that still exist, or is that gone now?
It's gone to a large extent. I mean, again, it's raised its profile big time. There are now higher apprenticeships that are available, and say Mid Kent College, we're going to be issuing or starting some higher apprenticeships in September. But a lot of companies, I mean, for instance, because I'm full of facts and figures, and then there are lies. So things like Network Rail, if you want a Network Rail apprenticeship, there's 1,200 people per applicant. So for every person that applies, or for every position available, there's 1,200 people applying for that position. So it's easier to get into Oxford and Cambridge than it is to get a Network Rail apprenticeship.
Absolutely. You're right, but it is changing.
Good.
It is changing. We could talk about this for ages, Nigel, but sadly we run out of time. If people want to find out more, how can they do that?
All they need to do is either contact their local college, and if they can't find a local college, then obviously contact Mid Kent College Business Services, and we will send out someone to assist and help you and guide you through all of the bureaucracy to find you the person. And they say it's a free service, we don't charge to come out and do it, but obviously we hopefully get the business from it.
Fantastic.
Just one final point. Celine has been affectionately referring to Nigel this week on Twitter as the hog.
Yeah.
Can you just kind of shed some light on that for us? Are you partial to a bit of pig in the bun, or what? Where does that come from?
I thought it was Boss Hog from the Dukes of Hazzard.
I've got many.
Oh, boy.
I have had many nicknames over the years. If you can appreciate the name, like the surname of Hog, I'm quite often referred to as the Hogmeister as well. Because if they need any information or guidance, generally they come to me. Because I seem to know a lot about nothing, as in the way of lots of things to do with education. So.
Cool. Thank you. If you want to find out about more about Mid Kent College, on the Kent Business Radio website, on the homepage, there is a link to the Mid Kent College website, so do check that out. Check out the Mid Kent College Business Unit, and as Nigel the Hogmeister says, do contact the Hogmeister to come over and give you some insights into what's happening into the world of work. For the moment, Nigel Hogg of Mid Kent College, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. Been an absolute pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks, Nigel. Speak to yourselves as well.
Do you know what we're going to do now? We're going to play a bit of tunage, have a bit of a break, and then we'll come back and speak to our next guest after that. I've got an unusual piece of tunage to play here. It's a piece called Falling by a band called Opia, and you won't have heard of them because they're a new unsigned band. And I was talking about New Potatoes earlier, and the New Potatoes show, which is on later today, played this track out a few weeks ago, and it generated 1 million listeners. And they were so pleased that they took the intro that Jamie from New Potatoes did and included it in the album. So I thought I'd give it a play. Have a listen to this.
I've already told you, you can't go on like this. Red lips, a kiss, and you got me calling for you. Guess I hardly know you, you're off limits. Classic twist, I think I'm falling for you.